Would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now and a shout of triumph and thank him so much. Thank him so much. Thank you so much. We have been so blessed, and we have several of the young men from the Teen Challenge with us tonight. Would you welcome them and make them feel at home? And we're so glad to have them. And I'm proud of them. I'm proud of them. And guys, you are going to challenge the enemy, and you're going to challenge the devil. And when the devil thought he had you, and when he thought your life was over, God gave you back your life, and you're going to lead others to Jesus Christ, and they're going to be set free also. Hallelujah. You may be seated. As I look around this room, I can't help but think of all the dear, dear friends and family I have in this room. And I've said this before, Brother Dunham, I've said it many times, and I can say it tonight, and I'm not evangelistically speaking. I don't have to worry about missing the rapture because I said it. The people of Alabama are not just my friends. They're my family. And I want to say something to you that really God touched my heart when my wife said it. She looked at me the other night, a couple nights ago, when we were going home from church and in the car, and she looked at me and she said, "Honey, you've talked so much about the people of Alabama, but as I've got to know them the last few years, they really are special people." And she told me, she said, "I love everywhere we go and all the Christians that we get to meet in all the different states, but," she said, "there's just something about the people of Alabama." And I just have to tell you something. I agree. There's just something special about the people in Alabama. There's just something special. And it is your dedication. It is your consecration. It is your hunger. It's you being completely unashamed of the gospel or the Holy Spirit. You make such an environment where people can come, no matter where they're from, and instantly feel at ease and at home in your services, because you just make people feel at home. So if I could, and I'm not going to because there's just only one of me, I would give all of you an applause, and I want to thank you so much for working so hard this weekend, sending me off to Africa charged up and fired up and ready to go. God spoke to me that he was sending me here so that he could touch my life and send me off with a shout and send me off energized and charged up. And I want to thank you for sending me off and being so good to me. One more time, let's just give the Lord a hand clap of praise. And two of my dear friends, Kenny and Renee Clark, are here. Jane and Bob Brown are here, my adopted parents who take care of me and my wife and my grandchildren and my children every time we come here. Would you give them a hand of appreciation for housing the evangelists and the things they've done? But all this week in my entire ministry, I've never had the Lord lead me to preach five consecutive nights on the same subject matter. Yet, we have had four nights to this point, and from the crowd that's here tonight and the hunger and the excitement I see in your eyes, I see that the message has stirred you and has quickened you. How many have felt the awesome presence of God all this week? And God confirms his word with signs following. And I am so glad that God speaks to us, saints. Aren't you glad that God is speaking to those that will hear him and listen to him? And when, I don't know if you noticed during worship, I'm the least of God's servants, but I am a servant of the Most High God. I started out on my knees. I started out dancing. Then Brother Randy, I ended up on my knees. And then I ended up on my face because the Lord rebuked me. You said the Lord rebuked you and it made you praise laying on your face before God, baraking him. Yes, the Lord rebuked me. God, I've been really busy trying to put together my part of this mission trip. I'm not an educated man, but I serve a God that knows everything. And some guys could do a lot of this stuff faster if they had more education, but it takes me a little longer on some of this stuff. And because of that, I've done my very best. But my prayer and my prayer time hasn't been quite what it needs to be. I mean, I've been praying and I've been seeking God. Brother Grant, I think you're going to know exactly where I'm coming from. And God has moved and God has been gracious. So I'm not praying just to get God to move, because we're not praying to get God to do something that he already wants to do. He gave his son so he can manifest in our lives and set us free. How many are glad that he has set you free? But the reason why I ended up on my face, he said, son, when you get back from Africa. So that answers all the questions about if I'm going to come back or not. He said, son, when you get back from Africa, I want you to get back in your prayer closet like you used to from a certain time. And it used to be no later than 1 o'clock. And from that time all the way to church, he says, you want to see me really save America? You want to see me turn this nation upside right? You get back in your prayer closet by 1 o'clock and you'll see me move like you know. And you know what he told me then? He said, and this is what touched me so much, is he said, it's not to get me to move. Son, I'm asking you, Brother Kenny, to get in my prayer closet early for you. He said, prayer isn't asking something from me, although it is petition. Prayer is when you get a chance to get alone with me in your prayer closet. And I'm asking you to get your prayer life back to where it was, because I want to spend time with you. You're robbing yourself of my blessings because you're not in my presence as much as you can be. How many want to make up your mind tonight that prayer is not begging God, but prayer is a privilege of having an audience with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? And starting Monday night, God has had me on a series of messages, Behold the Lamb of God. He spoke to us that if we want to see, there's only one man that can save America now, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God, but he also was manifest as the Lamb of God. And all the other names, and all the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, and all the names of God that represent God's working in our life cannot even begin to manifest until we have an experience and an encounter with the Lamb of God. How many are glad that Jesus is the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world? I don't know what these messages have been doing to you, but I'm going to tell you what these messages have been doing to me. When I've been praying with people, and I don't like to use the word I or my or me or talking about myself, but I can only relate this to my own personal life right now. When I've been praying with people the last couple nights, there's been a boldness. There's been a confidence. I haven't been saying, please God, heal this person, but I've been saying, you're healed in the name of Jesus. You're delivered in the name of Jesus. There's something about when you get the revelation of the Lamb of God and begin to see everything that sacrifice paid for, starting back with the original Passover at Exodus all the way to when Jesus, the Lamb of God, died upon the cross, was buried, and was risen from the dead. It makes you bold. It just strengthens your faith. It encourages you. It gives you boldness. And guys, I'm just going somewhere. I'm getting there as quick as I can. But there's been this stirring in me, this revelation of the Lamb of God. It just changes everything when a man or a woman really sees him for who he really is and gets a real revelation of the Lamb of God. We discovered with Job, when he saw his Redeemer liveth, it got him through the trial. He got back just as many children that were tragically died. He got double back of all of his possessions because he got that revelation that caused him to hold on to God. Aren't you glad? You may be going through a trial right now, but if you get a vision of the Lamb of God, God has a plan to bless your future. And then we found out about Abraham, how he got a revelation of the Lamb of God in Genesis 12. God gives him an entire country. In Genesis 17, God gives him a son at 100 years old. God gives him all the covenant blessings. And then in Genesis 18, God calls on him to make intercession for Sodom and Gomorrah. Then in Genesis 22, he gets a vision of the Lamb of God like few of us have ever seen, when he saw the actual substitute lamb, which is a typology of Jesus Christ. Would somebody shout hallelujah? And then we discovered that Jacob, his grandson, saw an open heaven. But what made that significant, Sister Dunham, is when he saw the open heaven, it wasn't that he just saw heaven open. It wasn't just that he saw angels ascending and descending. It's because the one that was standing at the top of the ladder, he saw the Lamb of God. And because of that, he lived to tell about it. Because of that, he left his country with nothing but the blessing of his father and a stick. And when he came back many years later, he had been so blessed from God for paying his tithes that what he had to be separated in two bands because it was too much to put in one band. Can I get a witness tonight? Hallelujah. And tonight I'd like to go on with a revelation of the Lamb of God. Joshua saw him as a mighty warrior, so much so he said, "Are you for us? Are you against us?" Gideon saw him as a mighty warrior. Saints of God, when we get a vision of the Lamb of God, the next thing that's bound to happen in your life, if there's 300 million demons that have come against you, when you get a vision of the Lamb of God, if God be for us, who or what can be against us? Oh, behold the Lamb of God. And so tonight I want to pick up where we left off. And I guess when I come back to Faircrest or Ueytown or Pleasant Grove later this year, I'll preach part 6 of this series, which I have not written yet. But just for time's sake, let us begin. And I'm going to read this to you, and then I'm going to pull up a scripture, because Brother Kenny gave me something, Bishop Kenny gave me something so powerful before church, I got to read it to you, or I'm cheating you. How many want to get a revelation of the Lamb of God, that when you see him, it's not faith in faith. It's not faith in a doctrine. It's faith in God. And when you get a vision of the Lamb of God, nothing is impossible to you anymore. When you get a vision. Now, I know it's hokey-jokey, but please bear with me. I didn't give him the scripture before church because Brother Bishop didn't give it to me right before church. But in Luke chapter 10, verse 23, it says, And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, "You are his disciples." That means disciplined ones. There's more than 12 here. I'm glad God's army's growing every day. He said, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see." Saints of God, we have seen him save people this week. We have seen the manifestation of the Holy Ghost this week. We've had testimonies of people being healed this week. How many of you have been supernaturally touched by God this week? Would you throw your hands up in the air, right? Blessed is he that sees these things. Blessed is that person, Jane, that gets a vision of the Lamb of God. I'm not talking academia. I'm not talking head knowledge. I'm not talking about a historical Lamb of God. I'm talking about a vision of the living, breathing Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And then he goes on to say in Luke 10:24, "For I tell you," these are the words of Jesus, "that many prophets and many kings," important people, great people, "have desired to see those things which ye see." Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody say, "Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of allowing us to see what the kings wish they could have saw, what the prophets of old wish they could have saw. But the time had not come for people to see you in the way we get to see you now." Aren't you glad, saints of God, that you can see him in a way that the prophets, oh, come on, somebody, I'm trying. "For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things that ye hear and have not heard them." Somebody give the Lord an applause for letting you see and hear what others wish they would have. Now that leads me to where we were going to take this message up tonight. Before you go any further, because you have confidence in the Lamb of God, in the person of Jesus Christ, raise your hands and say, I'm leaving with my miracle. I'm leaving healed. I'm leaving delivered. I'm leaving free. I'm leaving prosperous. I'm not leaving. Come on, throw that hand in the air and say, I am not leaving like I came in Jesus' name. Behold the Lamb of God. In John chapter 8, this is how I was going to originally start this message, in voice number 56. It says, your father Abraham rejoiced. Now, he didn't have the Bibles we have it today. He didn't know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. He's not a born-again child of God. He does not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost as we are privileged to have tonight. Didn't have the kind of praise and worship that we have. And aren't you thankful for the praise leaders and the worship leaders this week for leading us? Most of this time, this guy lived in a desert, lived in a tent his entire life, moving from one place to another. And it says, yet your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He looked forward in the future of the day that the Lamb of God would be manifested on the planet Earth. And he was so excited, Brother Randy, in the midst of the desert, in the midst of the trials, in the midst of all he was going through, he began to rejoice because he got a vision in his mind of the Lamb of God that was going to come. He said, and your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it. He saw it in Genesis 22. He saw it in Genesis 18. He saw it in Genesis. Oh, come on, somebody. Give the Lord a shout. And was glad. How many are glad to have a vision of the Lamb of God? Notice voice 57. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? How in the world can you be telling us that you saw Abraham and know what he was glad about and what he rejoiced about? Jesus answers that question in voice 58. And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Saints of God, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. In the beginning, God. He said, how do I know what Abraham saw? I'm what Abraham saw. Abraham had a supernatural vision of the Calvary. He had a supernatural vision of the resurrection. So this vision has great power in it. And he says, before Abraham was, I am. Someone say, I am. He is all you will ever need. He is all you'll ever want. But here he identifies himself as God himself. Why do we know that? Because the next verse says that the Jews took up stones to stone him because he said he was God. Not just any ordinary man died upon the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ. God died on the cross of Calvary. God bore stripes for my healing. God wore a crown of thorns for my... Behold the Lamb of God. But there's more, and you guys are being so patient. But raise your hand and say, God confirms his word with signs following. God's going to give a word, and then he will confirm that word. Throw your hand in the air and say, God, give me my key for my miracle. In Isaiah chapter 53, beginning with voice 6. And please get the CDs of the whole week, because you're going to have to listen to every night for all these messages to tie together. But I'm telling you, they're rhema from heaven. And it starts here like this. And he says, all we like sheep had gone astray. How many remember when you were away from God? How many remember how bad you messed your life up? Aren't you glad that the Lamb of God died so that you could be free tonight? Aren't you grateful that he rose so you can live for him tonight? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. I can tell you one thing. If you want to be blessed in your future, do things God's way. Don't lean not on thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Remember when you do that, that God's ways are not man's ways. When God shows you what to do and how to do it, he says, pray for your enemies, bless your enemies. I want to punch my enemies. enemies in the nose. But God says, bless your enemies. Why? Because when you bless your enemies, you're showing great faith in God. You're saying, God, I can bless my enemies, and you're so powerful that I can bless them, and they still can't hurt me even when I'm blessing them. Somebody shout. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord have laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Every one of us were a part of the reason why Jesus died on the cross. Aren't you glad that Jesus did it for you and he did it for me? Aren't you glad he died for us, but that he rose from the dead? And because he's risen from the dead, we can live through him and by him. And there's great power in that. Notice voice number 7. This is important. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet the word afflicted means tormented. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was bought as a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He could have defended himself. Pilate was trying to find a reason to let him go. Even when he refused to defend himself, Pilate, a heathen, a no good, no count heathen, said, I can find no fault in this man. Why? Because there was no fault in this man. He was born without sin. He lived his entire life and never sinned one time. He was tempted in all ways as we were, yet without sin. Somebody shout hallelujah. He could open his mouth and an army of angels would have been dispatched from heaven. And if one angel could make 1,000 flee, if two angels could make 10,000 flee, imagine what millions of angels could have caused. No man could take his life. The Jews couldn't take his life. The Romans couldn't take his life. The only thing that could take his life was Jesus had to lay down his life voluntarily. Jesus, God, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, became the Lamb of God so you and I could become sons of God. Would somebody say, what a powerful truth. Listen to this, guys. It's going to change your life. Notice voice number 8. And he was taken from prison and from judgment. It talks about how when Jesus was arrested and was imprisoned and he had to stand in the judgment hall of Herod and Pilate, who shall declare his generation? Who will tell the world what the Lamb of God did? Will you tell everyone that you can about what Jesus did for this generation? And he was cut off out of the land of the living. He was buried for 3 days, but it was not possible for him to stay dead. After 3 days, he rose from the dead with the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Someone praise the Lamb of God. Why did he die? Why was he afflicted? Why did he suffer? For the transgression of my people was he stricken. The word transgression means to sin when you know better. How many have ever messed up when you knew better? How many are glad God gave you a second chance? Would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? This was the mission of the Lamb of God. This is what he did for us. Notice the next voice. And he made his grave with the wicked. He was crucified between two thieves. And with the rich in his death, he was buried in Joseph's borrowed tomb. So he was crucified with the criminals. He was buried with the wealthy. Somebody shout. I'm just showing you that the word of God is flawless because he had done no violence. Neither was there any deceit in his mouth. How many are glad that when Jesus says it, you can stake your life on it because there's no deceit in Jesus. Notice voice number 10. When you go home tonight, read the first 6 voices of this chapter, and you'll see all the benefits and the blessings that God gives us through the Lamb of God. Jesus paid for your healing. He paid for your salvation. He paid for your prosperity. He paid for your peace. He paid for your deliverance. Someone shout hallelujah. Yet it pleased the Lord. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. And when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. You and I are Abraham's seed. We are his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Because of Jesus, God is able to prosper us. God is able to prolong our days. We're not what we used to be. Somebody give the Lamb of God a shout and a praise. I'm hurrying. No, this was the work of the Lamb. This is why he died. Read the first five verses and it tells you everything that God will gladly do in your life because of the Lamb. He who spared not his only son, how much more through him will he freely give us all things? Notice the next voice here, voice 11. He shall see the travail of his soul. The word soul means your mind and your emotions. Jesus didn't physically die for our sin. He suffered all the emotional and mental consequences of sin as well. That's why you don't have to have anxiety attacks anymore. That's why you don't have to be bipolar. You don't have to live in a constant state of depression, because he died for that also. He shall see the travail of his soul. This is God the Father. And shall be satisfied. Saints of God, when the Lamb of God said on the cross, it is finished. The word there means paid in full. Why? Because he knew at that moment that the price of sin had been paid in full. The consequences of sin had been paid in full. That justice was satisfied in the Lamb. Oh, come on, somebody. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. And shall be satisfied. And by his knowledge, shall my righteous servant justify many. How many are thankful tonight that you're not just forgiven, that you have been justified by Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God? The word justify means to make innocent. You're not just forgiven in the eyes of God the Father. You're as innocent as Jesus is. Oh, somebody praise the Lamb. I'm hurrying. But you don't want me to hurry so fast that you don't get your miracle. Because I want you to see the price. Because when we realize what the Lamb of God endured, then we're no longer doubt our miracle. Because he who spared not his own son, how much more will he freely give us all things? Jesus done the hard part. Now look at this. And he says, and he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, the Lamb of God. For he shall bear their iniquities, their moral perverseness. Notice verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death and was numbered with the transgressions. And he bare the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressor. Just before we go any further, let's thank him for what the Lamb has already done. Thank him for bearing your sins. Thank him for bearing your transgression. Thank him right now for making intercession for you, for he ever liveth to make intercession. So now we know what the Lamb of God paid for as the Lamb of God on the cross. But now I want to show you what the Lamb of God's ministry is and will forever be through his body. And guys, we need to understand, when we got saved at that moment, I don't understand all this academically. I can't always wrap my brain around it. That's why it requires faith, but I believe it. The Bible says that when you and I got saved, we became heirs of God. We became the children of God. It says that we became so close to God the Father that we are a part of the body of Jesus Christ the Son. He is the head and we are the body. Brother Randy, this is beyond my intellect, but I know it to be true. In so much so, the Word of God says that, Justin, that we're bone of his bone and that we're flesh of his flesh. Now, guys, it's not because of who I am. It's because of who he is. We are a part of Jesus Christ. And because we are literally a part of his body, and because he is in us and we are in him, that everything he is, we are through him. When he talks about himself after the resurrection, that all power has been given unto me, both in heaven and in earth, because you and I are in him and he is in us. All power has been given unto us, both in... when he talks about being the Almighty, the point that I'm trying to make is stuff that I know that you already know, but because of the Lamb of God, we are part of his body, and everything he is, everything that, now understand what I'm about to read to you, Jesus had from eternity, but now he's died on the cross, he's risen from the dead in a human body. So these things are being bestowed upon the human part of Jesus, because the spiritual part of him had it all along. And it was given to him with the knowledge that we would become a part of his body, that we would be in him and he would be in us. So the blessing is spoken to Jesus, not because he needed it, because he already had it, that you and I would know, because we are in him, what he's being blessed with, we are being blessed with also. What he. And you say, Brother John, how do you keep this in check and balance? Very simple. Revelations 5 and 10 says that he has already, past tense, made us kings and priests that we may reign upon this earth. You are a king. Every one of you, every one of y'all are kings. But oh, never forget this. He is King of kings and Lord of all lords. We operate in delegated authority. I have authority as long as I stay under his authority. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now, let us look quickly. For time, so let's go quickly to Isaiah 61. I know it's hokey-jokey, but bear with me. This was the ministry of the Lamb of God. This is what the Lamb of God did in his earth walk. It's what the Lamb of God does through his body today. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. Now notice the word anoint and spirit are two separate words. The word anoint means to mark or smear for a purpose. Everybody in this room has a mark in your life, things that God can do and will only do through your life. So you are already anointed. But now Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? Because I am anointed to do what I'm about to tell you. Was not Jesus always anointed to do that? Of course. But now the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, because he was doing what he was anointed to do before the foundation of the world. When we step out and stop operating or start operating as the body of Christ, the Spirit of the Lord will be drawn to our anointing and produce the same miracles it did in Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings. Now we can find this in the New Testament, and Jesus reads this in his first public message in the synagogue. And preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me, the word meek means teachable, humble. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and the opening of prison to them that are bound. Notice the next voice. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. How many are glad he is the one that comforts you in a time of mourning? Notice verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, all for joy for mourning, the garment of praise, the garment of praise, the garment of praise, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Tell that demon from hell to go back to where he came from. Start praising God. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You don't have to put up with that. You don't have to put up with that spirit of heaviness. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of the righteous, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. How many of you know that when you're fruitful, God is being glorified? God wants you to bear much fruit. We have been engrafted into the vine. We are the planting of our Lord. The Bible says, Bishop Kenny, that I ought to be flourishing as a palm, because I have been planted in the courts of my God. Oh, come on. Behold the Lamb. Now hurry, I'm hurrying. And they shall build the old waste places. That's why this message of the Lamb of God is the message to the Revelation generation. That's why this message is so important, because Justin, we cannot reach your generation without a fresh revelation of the Lamb of God, and they shall build the old waste places. They shall raise up the former desolation. They shall repair the waste city and the desolation of many generations. The devil thinks that Detroit is on its last breath, but I've got news for the devil. You better get out of our way, because God is about to send a Holy Ghost revival. Detroit is coming up. Detroit is coming out. I said all that to say this. Someone give the Lamb of God a hand, just by faith. Because, everybody say it out loud. What he is,
I am.
What he is,
I am
in him. And he is in me. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. Now, Revelation chapter 5, voice 12. God says five things that were given to the resurrected Lamb for our benefit. He didn't need it, Jane. He already had it. Notice what it says. Saying with a loud voice, worthy. Someone say worthy. Someone say worthy. Someone say worthy. If we praised him till the cows come home, he's worthy. If we praise him for a raccoon's age, which is 17 years, he's worthy. If we praise him from this moment on forevermore, he's worthy. If we praise him for as long as we live, he is worthy. If we praise him for eternity, he is worthy. They've been singing this song for 2,600 years, and it hasn't lost its power. Holy, 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 worthy, 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 worthy is the Lamb of God. Now, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power. Now, I'm going to give you the Greek definition, because the English just don't do it justice. Someone say, I'm in the Lamb. The Lamb's in me. I'm part of God's flocks. Say, when God divides his flock, I'm a sheep. I ain't a goat. I said, I'm a sheep. Someone shout hallelujah. That word power means able. How many believe the Lamb of God is able? It means, I like this, can do. I just like that. Can he cuts right to chase? Can do. If I call Kenny and I said, Brother Clark, can you help me with such and such? And he says, can do. I don't look no more, because I know it's done did. Someone shout hallelujah. It means able. It means can do. It means mighty power. It means possible. Do you see what happens when we begin to get the revelation of the Lamb? We don't realize this, but inside our spirit man is crying out, he's able, therefore I'm able. He can do it. I can do it. His mighty power means all things are possible. It means miraculous power. It means an abundance of power. It means strength. It means violence. The kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. If you want your youngin' back, you're going to have to violently go into the devil's kingdom and bind that strong man and take somebody. Shout hallelujah. Because of the Lamb of God, we have the power. It says, first of all, God gave him power, although we always had power, and riches. Oh, I like riches. How many have ever been broke? How many have ever been saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, broke? How many have ever been saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost with some money in your pocket? Wasn't it more fun to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost with some money in your pocket? Come on now. Come on now. I said, come. My wife's teaching me Southern. Ain't I doing good? Come on now. I like that. That sounds good. Come on now. Someone say, I love you, Lamb of God. Why do we get this? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive. This is something special for the Lamb, because the Lamb's in us and we're in him. Guess who else receives it? You can't separate me and Kenny from the Lamb. I know I don't look like a lamb. I know some people say, if that cat's a lamb, they ain't as pretty as I thought they were. He's kind of rough on the, but guess what, guys? I'm a lamb. I'm a lamb. I am a lamb. And I'm proud of it. Because I'm a lamb, he is worthy to receive power and riches. Do you know what the Greek word for riches is? Wealth. It means money. Who'd have thunk it? It means possessions in abundance. It means to be, I like this next part. It means to be bestowed upon by someone far greater than you, to make wealthy, to increase in goods. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me of my sins, but also thank you for letting me share your power and let me share in your wealth. Oh, guys, this has to be for us. You know why? Because Jesus owns it all. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Jesus didn't become the Lord when he was born on the planet Earth. He was the Lord before there was a planet Earth. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Someone say worthy. Someone say worthy. Now try this. Shut your eyes for just a moment. Put your hand up and say, because Jesus in me. Because Jesus in me, I am worthy. I am worthy to receive power. Riches. That's what it says. And wisdom. And wisdom. The word wisdom means spiritual wisdom. Godly wisdom. In other words, God knows what you need to know. And all you got to do is start walking in the revelation of the Lamb. And it won't be long till you know what God already knows. That's why God scolded me today about my prayer life. Not because I had to pray to get God to send revival. He was saying, son, you're being cheated of what you can get by just being around me. You're not a slave to prayer. You get to spend time with God, and we call that prayer. Somebody give the Lord a shout right now. Thou art worthy to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength. The word strength means forcefulness. It means ability. It means might. It means power. It means dunamis. It means strength. It means available to all. It means to be made able. It means to prevail. I don't know what you've been battling. I don't know what you're going through. But he that is in you is greater than he that is in this world. And you will prevail. I said you will prevail. Someone shout hallelujah. And then it says to give strength and honor. This one blew my mind, Bishop Stroop. The word honor means valuable. You may think you're just saved by the skin of your teeth, but you're valuable to God, and you're valuable to the kingdom. It means to paid. It means paid in past tense. How many know that God is rewarder of them who diligently seek him? That word reward means payment in full for services rendered. It means to esteem to the highest degree. It means precious. Means priceless. Because of the Lamb of God in my life, I'm not just precious to him. God says, when you look at John, you can't afford him. He's beyond price. If you have to ask, don't bother, because you ain't got enough money. You're just not somebody that goes to church. You are so valuable to God. God put a sticker on you, says, priceless. He's not for sale. You can't have him. He's mine. He's mine. He's mine. Well, man, I'm getting hungry. And it says strength, honor, glory. Now listen to this. The word glory means dignity. The word glory means a manifest honor for all to see. It means to have an honor manifested in our life, to be rendered unto us by God publicly. No, it also means praise. Well, obviously, that's not for man, that's for him. What does that mean, Brother Kenny? It means because I'm in the Lamb, and the Lamb is in me, and it talks directly about what the Lamb gets, because the Lamb gets it, I get it, because I'm in him and he's in me. That means every time God answers my prayer, he renders glory in my life to be seen by the entire world. He doesn't hide it. Oh, God. Guys, listen to this. And there's one more. And bless. All these things are blessings. The word blessing means adoration. It means benefits. It means the largest bounty possible. It means to evoke blessings. It means to speak well of. It literally means to brag on something. You may not know this, but your Father in heaven is bragging on you right now, just like he brags on his Son, Jesus. Now, that's hard for me to understand, but when I start thinking like that, it's a whole lot easier for me to come to this altar and get healed. It's a whole lot easier for me to come to this altar and get delivered. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now, I'm going to start praying for folks here in a minute. I want everybody to listen to me real closely now. I'm going to start praying for folks here in a minute. And there's folks that came in sick, they're going to leave healed. There are folks that came in with cancer, they're going to leave cancer free. There's folks that came in this place broke, and God's going to start blessing you financially because you now have a vision of the Lamb of God, and because the blessings that were given to him have to be given to you because you're in him and he's in you. There is no difference. Now, listen to this. But I happen to believe, Brother Stroop, Bishop, that, and I like it when people run up to the altar like they did Sunday night and the Holy Ghost was just falling. People just filled the altar. It was wonderful, wonderful. But if we think we have to be emotionally in that state, and God does make us emotional to get a healing, then we're not operating in faith. We're operating in our feelings. That's not faith. In fact, your feelings will lie. Feelings will tell you things are bad when they're really good. And sometimes feelings will tell you things are good when they're really bad. What I'm trying to say is, so we're going to pray. We're going to pray for miracles, and you're going to receive them, because all seven of those things are yours through Christ, and Christ is you. But before I do that, and we're going to do that, and I'm telling you, please listen to me. How many of you need a miracle? Let me see. Raise your hand. Don't let the devil rob you now. Raise your hand and say, I'm part of the flock. I'm a lamb in God's flock, and what the lamb gets, I get, because I'm part of him. Now listen, so don't let anything talk you out of this altar. And I'm going to pray for you, and you come up here boldly, and you let me lay hands on you, and the Lamb of God is going to heal you, for behold, the Lamb of God. But before I do that, I've got to do something, Brother Randy. I've got to do this. Because I don't plan to make it to heaven sick. I plan to go so healthy the doctor just writes on my death certificate, should the Lord tarry that long, say, I don't know why I did. He's perfectly healthy. I know what he's going to write. Well, he was well stricken up in years and yielded up the ghost. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, bear with me. But there were some other people that saw the Lamb of God that were very important people. Do you know who else saw the Lamb of God? There was a man who was a career criminal. Never done anything right. Never gave in an offering. Never witnessed to the loss. Never did anything in service to God. But was blessed enough to die, be crucified right next to him. His friend looks at Jesus, the Lamb of God, and all he can do is mock him and curse him and make fun of him. And others were mocking him and spitting and making fun of him. But this man saw something the other man didn't see. He saw the Lamb of God. And he rebukes the other criminal and says, shut up! We're getting what we deserve. But can't you see that this is a just man? And then he says, remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, this day. This day. Man, I just got chill bumps. This day, you're going to be with me in paradise. Brother Randy, do you really think it sunk into that thief's head? I don't think it did. I think he believed what Jesus said. But can you imagine the moment he bought the farm? The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. And the moment he stepped out of that physical body, the first one he saw had to be Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, didn't I tell you this day, this day, this day, this day? Oh. Yeah, he sure did. So that thief, he saw the Lamb of God. There was another man that saw the Lamb of God. He was a Roman soldier standing at the foot of the cross. According to Roman law, if you worship any other god but Caesar, you're going to get killed. You'll be executed. And this guy's a Roman soldier. He has no excuse. But yet, at the risk of his own life, he saw something. And he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. He saw the Lamb of God. And now I'm going to do something that's very important. Because you see, there's plenty of time for people to be delivered. I will pray. I've got to the 18th. I don't leave for Africa to the 18th. If you can get me to South Carolina. So listen to me. We got plenty of time. And don't let the emotion tell you you're not going to get your miracle. Because until we get away from our emotions, we will be robbed of our feelings have nothing to do with our faith. Nothing. 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 Now listen to this. But I got to tell you about one more guy that saw the Lamb. And I know this for a fact. This guy had been a drug addict and alcoholic for 12 years. This guy was shipped off to reform school at 12 years old. He was a loser right from the start. This guy was so despicable. His own brothers and sisters didn't want anything to do with him. This guy was so terrible. The only thing he ever was to his mother and father was nothing but pain, sorrow, and suffering. This guy, by the time he was 24 and a half years of age, had completely destroyed his life with no hope of a tomorrow. Had completely destroyed the joy of his mother, had robbed his family of so much. This guy who deserved, if any man deserved to go to hell, this was the man. But yet, God in his mercy let this wretched sinner get a vision of the Lamb of God. This poor drug addict and alcoholic did not understand what he saw, did not understand the words he heard, but just simply believed the report they had heard from the Lord from Isaiah 53. And that poor drug addict and that poor alcoholic just cried out to God and said, if you'll have mercy on me. Didn't know what he was asking for. And I know this man saw the Lamb because the man I just told you about is the one that stands before you tonight. And for the last 35 years, I have had the honor of preaching the gospel in 38 states and 10 countries. Why? Behold the Lamb of God. 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 Behold. So I'm going to tell you right now, I don't understand. Well, I do understand. The grace and the mercy of God. That God in his mercy and grace revealed himself to me, the least likely of all people to get saved. And all I could do was in my ignorance. And I didn't understand what I was doing. I just believed what the guy said. I prayed and I was born again. I was instantly set free from drug addiction. I was instantly set free from alcohol. I instantly became a new creature in Christ Jesus. And every good thing that's ever happened in my life since is because of the Lamb of God. I'm telling you, the Lamb of God will take away your sins. I'm telling you, I know. So I've come for just a moment, and we're going to pray for the sick and the hurting and the suffering and those that need prosperity, those that need deliverance mentally and emotionally. But I must stop right now and ask you, have you seen the Lamb of God? You're just like the two thieves tonight. You're the one on one side that sees the Lamb of God, and all you can do is mock him and curse him. Or you're the one on the other side that says, I don't deserve anything, God, but remember me. I want you to know tonight that God has remembered you, and God has sent me to you to reach out to you tonight. He doesn't care what you've done. He doesn't care where you've been. All he cares about is where he'll take you. And if you'll give your life to Jesus tonight, the Jesus that set me free will set you free. The Jesus that gave me hope will give you hope. You can start your life over, and you can do it right now by receiving Jesus Christ. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise.